It is good being with you once again. I welcome you with all my heart. All is well. Everything is unfolding as it should. There are no mistakes. And you're in good hands. Many people ask me, Robert, what is really the fastest way to quiet the mind? For many of you realize now that when the mind is quiet, liberation comes by itself. There's really nothing else you have to do to become liberated. When the thoughts stop, everything takes care of itself. Then you are in your natural state. Therefore, what should you do to quiet the mind? Should you practice self-inquiry? Should you become the witness, the observer? Should you do pranayama, breathing exercises? Should you practice vyayama meditation? All of these things are good. But yet ours is the easy path. The direct path. Here's the easiest way to do this. If you would realize in your heart that everything is nothing, your mind will become still. It will become perfectly still. Ponder what I just said. If you would only realize in your heart that everything is nothing, there would be no thoughts. This is very profound. This is really all you have to do. Realize in your heart, not in your mind, but in your heart, that everything you behold, everything you see, is actually nothing. There will be no thoughts. You will become free. Let me explain. When you see a tree, what is the source of the tree? The seed. What is the source of the seed? Or what came first, the tree or the seed? Where did the first seed come from? Where did the first tree come from? When you look at a mountain, what is the source of the mountain? When you look at the world, what is the source of the world? The universe. The planets. You may say, well, God is the source. What is the source of God? Is God something? You have to ask yourself, you have to inquire within yourself. What is the source of all these things? And we realize nothing is the source of everything. Everything comes out of nothing. And a little story I tell many times will illustrate this. There was once a class with a teacher teaching the students that everything comes from nothing. But one student couldn't grasp this and kept asking, "Teacher, how can everything come from nothing? That's impossible. Nothing produces nothing. Yet you say everything comes from nothing. Please explain this." No matter how the teacher tried to explain, the student couldn't grasp it. The teacher finally said to the students, "You see the fig tree outside of the window? Go out and bring me a fig." The students obeyed. "Now open the fig and tell me what you see." The students opened the fig and saw these tiny little seeds. "I see tiny seeds, Master. Bring me a seed." The students obeyed and brought a seed. "Now here's a razor blade. Cut open the seed." This was sort of difficult. The student tried his best and finally cut open the seed. In the fig tree seed, there was a hollow. So the master asked, "What do you see?" And the student said, "Nothing, Master." "Well, the same nothing that you see there produced the seed and produced the fig tree. The same way the world was produced, the universe was produced, and all of the things you see on this earth were produced. Out of absolute zero, nothing. When you come to this conclusion in your heart, something happens. Immediately, all of your karma, all of your samskaras, all of your delusions are totally eradicated. And you become free. See how easy it is? All these years you've been looking for methods, teachers, things to hold on to, things to rely on. Where in truth all you have to do is to realize in your heart that all existence comes out of nothing. If you take a flower and begin to dissolve the flower, you will get molecules, you will get atoms, you will get energy, and then you will get nothing. Whatever you dissolve to the nth degree, everything turns into nothing, into nothing. Therefore, God is nothing. You are nothing. There is only nothing. Why won't you accept this and become free?
Isn't nothing just another concept?
Nothing is certainly another concept.
Just the opposite of everything.
Of course.
So where do you get by saying everything is nothing?
When you begin to accept that everything is nothing, everything inside begins to dissolve. All of the things you've been holding on to for all of these years, all of the teachings, all of the dogmas, the concepts, they begin to dissolve into nothing. This is why I say, do not think about this in your mind, for the mind will fool you and it'll be another concept, as you so rightly said. But if you think about this in your heart, well, of course in your heart you do not think. You just have a realization of this truth in your heart, that everything is nothing. All of a sudden something will happen. The heart will open up. The heart is the I Am, the absolute reality, the pure awareness. And you will find that you have become nothing. By becoming nothing, you become everything. Your essence is in everything when you are nothing. You will laugh. You will be happy. Nothing will disturb you. You will have infinite peace. It's so simple. So simple. Yet many of you want to analyze this. You want to think too much about it. You want to try to understand it. This is what keeps you back from experiencing liberation. When you try to understand what I say, you are simply using your concepts, your dogmas, your training over these years, and from previous years, and from previous incarnations. All this stuff is inside of you. And you're trying to use this intelligence, so-called, to try to understand nothing. And you cannot do this. It'll never happen. You, the finite, have no faculty to understand nothing. So can't you understand now how foolish this is to try to use your human intelligence, your human understanding, to understand nothing? This is what holds you back from realization. This very thing itself. Ponder this. Your human intelligence has to be gotten out of the way. Your human concepts have to be dissolved. Everything you feel, believe, and experience up to this point has to be totally transcended. Nothing will never appear to you until you have become nobody. When you are nobody, you'll be nothing.
And then it doesn't appear to you.
But you want to be somebody. Somebody can never be nothing. You have to be a nobody to be a nothing. Nothing is hard to come by. Look at some of you, you think you're somebody.
Don't do me so.
You have the pride inside of you that makes you think you're somebody. Remember this joke I once told you about this? It was the high Jewish holy days. And the rabbi was preparing for Yom Kippur. He was looking at the Torah, the sacred Torah, in the synagogue. He became totally inspired. He started to beat his chest saying, I am nothing. Oh, I am nothing. I am nothing. The cantor was there also, and he's the one who reads the scrolls in the synagogue. And he saw the rabbi doing this. So he walked over to the scrolls, and he also started to beat his chest. I am nothing, I am nothing. Oh, I am nothing. And there was a janitor sweeping the floor. He looked at these two people doing this. He walked over also to the scrolls and started beating his chest saying, I am nothing, I am nothing. The rabbi looked at him and he looked at the candidate and he said, look who thinks he's nothing. This is like us.
Exclusively nothing.
We believe we're something. Even when we say we're nothing, we think we're something. Understand yourself. See where you're really coming from. Think of all the books you have to read. The teachers you have to visit. The talking you have to do to explain things. I'll remind you again and again and again. As long as you are involved and intelligence and things that come out of human intelligence, you can never be nothing. And if you can never be nothing, you can never be self-realized. Even though self-realization is your nature and you're already that, the clouds of ignorance have covered you up. Making you believe you're something. The years spent in studying scriptures, memorizing passages, what has it gotten you? It's only more stuff that you've got to get rid of. I tell you again and again, this teaching is an emptying process, not an adding on process. Do not think you have to know something profound to become liberated. It's actually what you do not know that makes you liberated. The knowing keeps you human. Knowingness makes you a talking encyclopedia. It is only when you begin to empty yourself that you find yourself. And you're welcome to use a simple method we're sharing. Just realize right now that everything is nothing. In your heart, realize this. Can't you see what's happening? It's so simple. As you realize nothing, everything is nothing, then there's nothing to think about.
But then there's neither everything nor nothing.
Sure, but forget about that. Okay. Just follow what I'm saying. Everything is nothing. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing to say. If everything is really nothing in your heart, can you say something?
No.
Of course not. What can you possibly say? There are no answers to this. There are no questions. There are no remarks you can make. If you're doing this correctly. If you're doing it in your mind, the mind will come up with all kinds of questions and all kinds of remarks, all kinds of teachings. The mind is filled with teachings, filled with remarks, filled with questions. But if you become simple, like a small child, and just ponder, everything is nothing. Everything I behold, all the thoughts I've believed, the feelings I've had, everything I see, everything I touch, everything I taste, everything I smell, everything I hear is nothing. All of a sudden your mind will become still. I know it's happening to some of you right now. There's nothing to think about any longer. There's no one to know whether you're doing it right or wrong, because everything is nothing. There's no past, there's no future. There's no good, there's no bad. Everything is absolutely nothing. Again, do not try to think in your intelligent mind what nothing is, because this spoils it. We are so used to using our mind. That everything you hear is analyzed, judge and then your mind tells you an answer what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. This is why the important point is when you realize this in your heart. Your heart is absolute reality. Your heart is nirvana. Consciousness. Satchitananda. This is your heart. That's where you have to realize this. You will become quiescent. Total quietness. Total peace. You will experience the peace which passes all understanding. Feel it now. Ponder everything and nothing in your heart. It's impossible to have any thoughts when you're doing this correctly. And where there are no thoughts, there's reality. You have one or the other. You're either thinking constantly all day long about this, about that, about people, about places, about things. Your mind keeps rattling all day long. Or you do not think at all. And of course, if you do not think at all, you are liberated. Say to yourself, I realize that everything, excluding nothing, is nothing. I realize this in my heart. Now perhaps can some of you see why the negative workshops or seminars, what is there to say? Everything is nothing. That's it. What did I possibly do in a 3-4 day seminar? There's so much that you have in your head from all the seminars you've attended, all the books you've read, all the classes you've gone to, that it's difficult for you to know that everything is nothing in your heart. You hear these things from many teachers, I suppose. But they keep teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. All kinds of good knowledge. Spiritual words. Yet they clog up your brain. Simple. Always remember this. Everything is absolutely nothing. And you are free. Are there any questions pertaining to this before we play Stump the Guru?
Robert, I have a question. That phrase you use, everything is nothing, is it essentially different from there are no objects?
You can say whatever you like. There are no objects. If it does anything for you, that's good. Does it help you see that everything is nothing?
I can't see anything about everything is nothing. At least every there are no objects has some kind of vague meaning.
For you?
For me.
Then by all means use that.
But it is same in the same ballpark?
Yes. But don't get entangled in too many words.
How many words were in that? There are no objects. Can I use 4?
I can use 4.
I'll let you keep the others.
Thanks.
So Robert, this would be the same from the beginning, not a single thing is. That's it.
You can say that, not a single thing is. If it means the same thing to you, remember we want to make this thing very simple. Not get complicated in debates or reasoning. The simpler you make this, the better it is for you. Just saying everything is nothing is perfect.
For all is Maya, same thing. Illusion.
You can say that.
I just did.
Say it again.
All is illusion, it's Maya.
Good. But actually somehow I feel when you say everything is nothing, that's right in the ballpark.
Another way of saying Maya.
It is. If that doesn't get any good, is it?
You have it.
I don't see it.
You see it the other way around. Nothing is nothing.
You can say nothing is everything. But when you say that, you start thinking about everything.
Back in the soup.
The word nothing in itself. If you think of the word nothing, it's such a simple word. Nothing exists, nothing. Why do you want to change the words for?
Everything is unreal.
Everything's unreal. Sure, what you're saying is the truth also. Everything is unreal, everything is Maya. But the word nothing in itself has an amazing quality. When we think of nothing, we leave out everything. There's nothing to add on.
It swallows everything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But the mind tries to make something out of it.
That's
what you have to do, is stop the mind from doing that. Don't fight the mind, leave it alone. We work in that. That's the last thing. Can you describe effective prayer? To whom does one pray? Is the concept and practice of Ishtam involved here? Who was Ramakrishna Paramahansa? Ramakrishna Paramahansa is yourself. You are that. Ramakrishna Paramahansa is the self of the whole universe. If you're speaking of Ramakrishna the man, Ramakrishna the man never existed. But Ramakrishna, the universe, the absolute reality, the pure awareness, exists now and forever. So Ramakrishna Paramahansa is yourself. Can you describe effective prayer? Effective prayer is when you realize there's nothing else but self. Effective prayer when you realize the I thought is the cause of everything I see, hear, taste, touch, and feel. So if I inquire, who am I? That's effective prayer. My self-inquiry. Whom does one pray to? You pray to yourself. Who else? To whom can you pray? Ramakrishna Paramahansa is the self. So when you pray to Ramana Maharshi, when you pray to Ramakrishna Paramahansa, when you pray to Jesus, if you feel that that is the self, then that's correct prayer. In other words, do not pray to an image. Deity as yourself. That is the prayer. Actually, how it works is when you start praying to yourself, you start to laugh. Because yourself is already your own mind. The self is already awake. So to whom are you praying? is a concept and practice of Ishtam involved here. I don't know what Ishtam is. Whatever it is, drop it. If there were 10 who were not a yanis, would they not have what seems to be personalities and to some extent emphasize different teachings or approaches to becoming free to think of? If there were 10 who were not ayanis, would they not have what seems to be personalities? Of course, if you're ayani, you're a personality. Ayani means ignorance. It's the opposite of wisdom. So if there are 10 who are ayanis, there would be ignorance. But if there are not ayanis, would they not have what seems to be personalities? If they're not ayanis, where's their personality? A personality is only for the ayani. The personality, the I thought, is the same thing. There's no personality in the ayani. I know why you chose the figure 10. To some extent, would they emphasize different teachings or approaches to become free? Ayani has no personality. Therefore, Ayani teaches non-duality. Even if the yanis have different personalities, they're going to teach non-duality of one type or another. And the non-duality is always the same. Then nothing exists but the self. They may teach in slightly different ways, but the teaching will always be the same. That there's no existence, there's only the self, pure awareness, absolute reality. So there were 1,000 yanis. They all teach non-duality. Well, the word yani itself means absolute wisdom, non-duality. They have no personality. If you're a yani, the personality is gone, transcended.
That's
it. That's all?
That's it.
That's everything. What do we do now?
Yeah, we're the hopes here. Isn't he what I said?
No.
I said we don't have any hula hopes here.
You didn't bring them?
No. No, I wasn't. We never had time.
Put it over, sir.
Another 10 incarnations for that.
It could be said that the Ayani ascribes personality to the world.
Yes, of course.
But it's not real.
The Ayani always sees himself wherever he looks. So naturally, if they're looking at a yani, you're going to see your own personality. That's why you're told not to think. Because everything you say is from your viewpoint.
How can one dwell in the consciousness with the large C rather than in the little C? Because most of the time when I read a book or hear you talk, it's the little consciousness. When you say Ayani and the Yani, the Ayani has a personality, the Yani doesn't. You talk, my mind picks up and makes something out of it. When you say nothing exists, or the consciousness, I know we're not supposed to make a concept out of it. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Mm.
There's no answer, is there? How can one dwell in consciousness without the mind?
The mind is your enemy, not your friend.
I understand that. I understand that.
Therefore, when the mind is gone, the self takes over.
But the mind's there all the time. Even as you're talking now, it's answering you.
How do you know?
Because I'm answering from the mind. See, that's what I'm saying. Maybe what you just said is going beyond the mind that I'm not even aware of.
As long as you're thinking about it, it's wrong. This is why I say not think about what I say. But open your heart.
What's the heart? How can you use words to explain the heart?
The heart is all-pervading. There's nothing else but the self or God.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I meant. You just answered it. But the it's hard to say it, but whenever I think, of course, it's the mind. Is it possible to be in the all-pervading heart rather than in the mind?
If the all-pervading heart is the self, the reality, your reality.
I understand what you're saying, but I have a feeling that my heart, that my mind is taking over and trying to make something out of it, and at the same time, it wants to go beyond itself by being in the consciousness.
True.
Okay.
So it's up to you to become still and quiet, not to argue with yourself, but simply observe and watch.
So the minute something enters my mind, that's not where it's at.
Exactly. So you become the witness.
Well, witnessing is still the mind, isn't it?
You're using a higher mind to witness.
What's the higher mind?
The higher mind is the self.
How can I dwell in the self without the mind coming in?
The mind will come in as long as you allow it to come in.
How can I stop it?
By observing it, by watching it, by looking at it, by witnessing it.
I'm watching it now. And it's arguing with you. It's trying to... In one hand, it wants to be defeated. In the other hand, it wants to still...
Try to become still. Try to give up the argument.
I understand.
Leave it alone.
Meditation is not where it's at. Is it just sitting quietly and meditating? Isn't the mind still there with all its thoughts?
Meditation is good for some people, but in the ultimate reality, you don't need meditation. But it's a good thing for some people because it makes the mind quiet. That's the object of meditation, to quiet the mind. When you use a mantra, it quiets the mind.
As long as you're using it's quiet, the minute you stop, the mind comes in.
You've got to let go of this world and stop holding on so strongly. You can do it.
I know. I sense it. It's like it's two people almost.
Of course. kill one.
Make sure you kill the right one.
You can only kill the right one.
Thank you. No. Very good.
The other one is indestructible.
That's very good. Very good. That's what Henry just said is what I want to dwell in, the indestructible part. But who's dwelling in the indestructible part? The mind or all-pervading consciousness?
Who do you think?
The mind when I'm thinking and when I'm quiet.
Of course, you're right. All these answers are from you.
You see, I'm aware of this for the first time in my life. You know? I just sense this. It gets scary at times, you know?
It gets scary because you're giving up all the known.
Mm.
You give up all the things you've been hanging on to for all these years.
Well, something happened to me last night. The night before last, I don't know what it was, but I woke up, I had some kind of nightmare, and I was thrashing around. People can't see it, but I must have been hitting my head. You see all the marks on my head?
Mm.
My room was almost a mess. I don't know why. I couldn't believe it. Like someone had come in here and tore the place up. It was frightening. I'd heard of nightmares, but I'd never had one. It was something. Gee.
You guys been walking in the sleep again?
Not the first time. First time I ever experienced something like this. It's interesting. It's a whole new way of living, you know? I sort of sense that. The first time. Even if nothing has happened, there's a sense of peace that I haven't had before.
Hold on to it.
And boy, all kind of thoughts come in, doubts come in. Someone wrote a book called Wake Up and Roar, if anybody heard of it.
Good title.
Well, Eli wrote it, actually. I don't know Eli Diamond just has it. Anyway, so there's no separation. They explain it in such a way that it was beautiful. But I still feel separate. You know, when you sense that separation, then you know there is no separation. Do you know what I'm saying? As long as you can sense it, that there is no separation, yet you sense the separation, that means there is no separation. Do you know what I'm saying?
If you can feel that, that's good.
I see me and I see all these people as individuals. Do you see us all connected? All one?
I see all individuals.
Well, where's this connection come in?
If I saw you all connected, I'd be in a weird place.
Well, where's the sense of separation?
I'm able to function in the world.
Where's the sense of separation come in? And do you have a feeling of separation from us?
No.
Well, that's what I meant.
But I have no feeling that you're all connected.
Well, where's the separation come in? When the books talk about separation, when there is no separation in the world.
The separation comes in your own mind.
It's almost automatic, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah.
And the more you see it, wow, it's like I said, to goodness sakes, I better shut up. I'm going in a deep morass here. Oh, gosh.
You're doing well, Nate.
I don't argue as much as I used to.
I'm doing okay.
Well, when you were talking before, I was thinking it made no sense because you're trying to make sense out of it. It makes no sense at all.
Sure.
So it's really stopping to try to make sense out of it.
It is a sense that keeps us bound.
Mm. Because when you say everything is nothing, I mean, that's senseless, because if everything is nothing, there cannot be any everything, there cannot be any anything. And there's not even nothing, because there's nothing to compare it to.
Exactly.
You know, it's all senseless. It's
that's why the mind slows down and stops thinking.
Yeah.
But you create something to think about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's nothing there, then you create something
to
go back and forth.
Yeah, but that's why it's simple. That's senseless.
Hmm.
Can't make sense of it.
Can I tell any story, Mr. Lin, for everybody?
Okay, tell a story.
Can you hear me? Or shall I use the microphone?
No.
Okay. King said to the, this is an Indian, he says to the minister, tomorrow morning you go out, and the first person you see, bring him back, and I'll give him kingdom. So, next morning, the minister goes out, and the first person he sees is a beggar. They bring the beggar in, and they wash him, and they give him new clothes, and they feed him, make him like a prince. And there's no need for anything. Comes 4 o'clock, the beggar says to the king, he says, where's my begging bowl? It's time for me to go out begging.
That's interesting. But the minister wasn't smart. The first thing he should have looked at in the mirror.
Did you get the point of the? That answer to me was inappropriate.
Okay, that's fine. He told you that was for that.
Do we have any announcements?
No, Robert. No, not yet.
There's an address sheet and phone number sheet on the table, and if any of you don't have your name and address on there and would like to have it, please do.
Do we have any prasad in there? Nothing to eat.
Another wasted Sunday.
If you hadn't made Mary use up her reserve, we'd have had some today.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's what your lecture was about, nothing,
Rob,
so that's what we got.
Nothing.
We should mention about the transcripts in the folder there. When you take a transcript out, please make a couple so that we're not without, because the transcripts are going and nothing's being put back in the file. If you would make even one or two, take yours and just put them back in the file. So it would keep it filled for us.
So, remember to love yourself, to pray to yourself, to worship yourself, to bow to yourself. Why? Because, why?
You're it.
Try to answer me as you.
Oh, that gets too sleepy. More dramatic.
Just because.
Can't get it simpler than that, can you?
Do it. Peace. We're all done.
Cooked goose, well cooked.
Long.